plug. All right. So as Doug mentioned, my name is Devin, and if we haven't met, I'm the youth associate here at Hope. And if you don't recognize me, maybe picture me with a baseball cap on backwards. You might get a little bit picture of what I normally look like here, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I recognize him. The beard and the tattoos aren't enough. But good morning, church. I'm so excited to be here on this special Sunday, this youth takeover here at Hope Covenant. And as Doug said, I have a word for you all today, a word that I believe that God has put on my heart and has been working on me for a long time. And I hope that it resonates, because I think it's something that he wanted me to tell you guys and he wanted you to hear. And when I talked to this with Doug and I talked him through it, he said, okay, I think I believe you, but are you sure you're ready? You got the nerves down, you ready? And I said, Doug, I speak in front of a room full of teenagers for a job. This will be easy, all right? So before we get into it, I'm going to tell y'all where the plane is going to land today. There is power in the name. Power in a name, our name. And there's special power in the name of Jesus. Now, I know what you guys are all thinking. Well, of course there is. It's Jesus. His name is Jesus. Of course he's got power in his name. Well, to explain, I need to take you back to what I mean. And so when I take you back, I'm going to take you back several years to my eighth grade year. That's too far back. But that makes a cute photo, huh? So I was a little precocious scamp, but my teacher in our eighth grade year gave us an assignment. She told us that we were to write a paper on what our names meant. So here I am in eighth grade, and I hop on the computer, and I type in, what does my name mean? So I start with my first name, and I start up, I type in Devin. The first thing I get is the first website I come across. It says it means a long, dark-haired female. What? All right. So I search some more. And I come across one, and it's an old Irish word that means poet. Okay, I can live with that. I can live with being a poet, you know, like a warrior poet thing, maybe. All right, so now let's try the middle name. And I type in Alan. We look at, bam. First thing that comes up, handsome. I can live with that. So I give her the assignment with the history and the rough draft, and I go, I am a handsome poet. And see, my teacher at the time, I think she was in her 30s, was much wiser than I. And she said, no, that's not what I'm getting at. I don't want the actual literal meaning of your name. I want what your name conveys to people. I want what it means to people. So I go, okay, I'm honest, smart, personable. See, she wasn't looking for us to define our names. She wanted us to look inside. She wanted us to look inside ourselves and see what we had attached to our names and traits others had come to know us by. But we aren't just talking about the meanings of names here or what traits they have, but we're talking about the power in our name. And the most powerful of all names is the name of Jesus. In fact, 2,000 years after his death, people still cling to the power in that name. And some people in the secular world even still use it today. See, we've been around people who invoke the Lord's name in vain or use it in surprise or disbelief, and there's reason for that. You see, in John 1:1, it says that in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created for him and through him. See, God created the world to be written in the name of Christ and Christ's name written in it. All creation echoes his name. God even goes to great lengths to tell us this. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through 33, in this passage, Jesus' name is given to Mary before he's even born, as well as the things that God has destined for Jesus. See, here he has written the kingdom of earth as his, and that it will last forever. He is calling into our reality here and now of what and who Jesus is. And if that's not clear enough, he then later blesses Jesus's ministry and publicly solidifies his place in the story. See, in Matthew 3:17, the baptism states that Jesus is the Son and he is pleased with him and his mission. He is saying that Jesus has my power and there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name Jesus. God is describing at a glimpse at the power and the glory in the name of Jesus. And he is calling to the world so that they may know who he is. And the rest of the story is about how that power is on us. The power of the name of Jesus resides in us, all of us. See, we are all born into the kingdom of God. We are his design and his creation. His design for us is literally knit into our fibers, into our being, and we can't help but being drawn towards that end. See, Ephesians 1:4, it says that we were created for him and by him in a destiny that he laid out for us. But what we want control. Eugene Peterson says the same verse in a different way in the Message. He says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. And long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ, which he took pleasure in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. We often take the reins and we try to control our own destiny. You know, the whole God helps those who help themselves and all that. But we don't ask a dishwasher what it was created to do. So why do we try to figure out what we were created to do on our own? God has the first right to name us. The first right. Because he had a purpose for us before we were even thought, before we were even a thought in the womb, a plan and a use for us, something so integral to our very being that we can't help but be moved and drawn towards that end. See, Revelation 2:17 talks of a stone that God will present to us when we finally meet him, a stone that will represent our true name, a name that is ours and a secret between him and us, a representation of who he created us to be and how he has redeemed that within us. But even now, he draws us into that life, even here, into that power of that name. He wants the fullness of life for us here and now. He didn't choose our names at random. The name he gives to us is meant for us to unlock something in us and to give us a new life. But God wants to call out the image of him and what he created in us and how we reflect his heart. We all have unique pieces of the same God and that reflect him to the world around us. This is our Imago Dei, which is the Latin term for reflections of our creator God. See, my teacher knew that by reflecting on what I thought the meaning of my own name was, that I would discover what mattered to me, and therefore how God had created me. But I would have to look deep. So let me give you a look into my story and how God's ability to shape a story changed a family for the better. In the next story, I may get emotional, but I want this to be a demonstration of the glory of God and how he moved an entire generation of a family. Not just one person, and how one name can mean so much to a people. So this is my daughter, Evelyn. And for those of you who don't know, she is 2 years old and she is adopted. And an even more interesting way, she is my second cousin. So I will give you the short version for the sake of time. My uncle had passed away and my cousins were separated from the family, some going into the foster system, and others adopted by family members after several harrowing tales of woe. And so we fast forward a little bit to about 2 years ago, and Rachel and I are trying to start a family. And we hear my cousin and his girlfriend are pregnant. And my aunt calls to us and asks if we would be willing to adopt this little girl. So none of us wanted to separate the family again. We prayed and we quickly said yes. And so we sat in the living room and we met with the parents and we listened to what they had to say as they asked their questions. God had given us a heart for a daughter and we were to name her Evelyn Grace. When it came time for us to speak, The love of God was present in the room. Both parents had decided that they wanted an E name for Evelyn. Didn't matter what, just that it started with an E. And that mother's middle name was already Grace. So without knowing, we had come up with Evelyn Grace. No stipulations, but God wasn't done. See, in the old Irish, Evelyn means desired child. A child desired by parents who wanted her. A child desired by God. And her middle name is Grace, the free and unmerited favor of God. She was and is smiled upon by our Lord. So as we sat in that living room looking at how God had moved even there, we didn't know that God was only beginning to get started. Now her life would change and show others his love. And that as she grows older and realizes that she would be looked after and cared for by a family who adopted her as the Son adopted us. The Father calls us to his family and sets us free without doing anything. And this small baby was desired and given free and unmerited favor and love and cherished in her new family. A picture of redemption in a broken story. And now, even here, God used her to turn a family to the things of him, to his heart. Relationships began mending, hearts began to soften, families who had been on the fringe were pulled in. And this bundle of joy, this desired child, had given us all the unmerited favor, the Lord's favor. Just as for my family, there is a hidden and deeper meaning to Evelyn's name, and one that she will unfold as she gets older. And there is some sort of meaning in different ways to other people that meet her and know her in ways that we do not. And whether that be joy or youth or love, Grace rewrote her story. And mine. And my family's. And the power in her name is what did that. And I can't wait for the day that I get to ask her, what does your name mean? There is power in the name of Jesus, and there is power in our name from Jesus. And friends, there is so much more than truth in the name of Jesus, because Jesus' name was meant to give hope to the hopeless, freedom to the oppressed, rest to the weary, and peace to the anxious, all of the above. He is the great I am. And what a wonderful name that is. Jesus' name is power to us and for us. He is Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega. So how then is our name reflecting Jesus? When Jesus entered spaces, he was known and they knew what to expect. Today, we are too worried about conveying our own names and what interests and what it means to others. But what if our power came from the name of Jesus? What if what we brought to the table wasn't us at all? But what if we came with Jesus presented first? And then people remembered not our names, but they did so as reflections of Jesus showed to them. See, often in the Bible, God uses names as a way of symbolizing new life or as a way of giving a testament to their faith. Abraham, to give meaning to a promise. Sarai to Sarah, to bless a promise. Saul to Paul, to symbolize rebirth. Or Simon to Peter, to show his role in the church. All of these stories are times when God changed the trajectory of individuals' lives to fit with the destiny he created for them. See, I could expand on each one of them too, because there's so much to their story, and even into a sermon on each one of them. And if you don't believe me, just ask my wife how much I can talk. See, often God uses names to show an outward sign of his favor. But in all of us, there is a name he has for us. But I want to take a second and pause here. I don't mean names literally, like Doug is John and John is Paul and up is down. No, God has a destiny written on all of us and a phrase that he sees in us and calls out in our story. Just as with Adam, he wrote in that he would be the father and shepherd humanity. But we all know how that story went. And so Jesus came and restored it. It's the same with that. It's the same with us, that Jesus wants to restore our story to our true identity and our true calling. To that end, God has adopted us into the family of God, and we are all sons and daughters. So we have the power to draw on the name of Jesus. And even more, we have that power in our name already, because we reflect the image of God. And our stories turn others to his story. There's power in his name. And we all have a unique identity that God is calling us into. But before we dive more down into that path, I want to touch on a few things that God has called us all into. The story God is writing is all told through eyewitnesses, either those who are there or those who interviewed people there. And an eyewitness of Jesus is the most powerful way to experience him. So how are our lives eyewitnesses to Jesus? See, friends, it's not just about talking about him. It's about telling your story by showing him through your story. We all have resurrection power. We all can bring love, peace, healing, and glory to everyone. But we have a unique identity that God is calling us into that helps those eyewitness accounts spread. See, in Matthew 28, Jesus recounts the Great Commission, and he asks us to take his message to the world. And he says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, obeying everything I've commanded you, for surely I am with you always to the end of the age. See, our mission all looks unique, our identity tied to who God created us to be and the way we witness to the world looks different to all of us. And see, in a different translation, Jesus also explains that he wants us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so Jerusalem doesn't always mean Jerusalem. That's our home. Jerusalem for us is our home. That's our first priority and where we start, but most often the one we miss. You see, here we focus on looking inward and we extend outward to those closest to us. Even Jesus started here. This is where we focus on our relationship, learning who we are, and living out of God's power and presence at home. Then Judea, this is our closest circle and where we spend the most time. Extended family, work, friend groups. And here's the beginning of our mission field. We are on a mission showing the heart of Christ in all of our circles. And Samaria, this is where the heart of God may lead in many different ways, depending on the way God calls us. Many look different in the seasons of our lives, but this is our neighborhood, stuff outside of our community, the areas we don't venture too often. In these spaces, we may often just be called to pray, but we also seek God's guidance in this. And the last one is the ends of the earth. This is the mission field abroad, the world, the wide world. And this is where the adventure of God calls us into. Some are called long-term. Some are called just to go for short term, and some again are just called to pray. And in all of these adventures, one thing is always universal. We are all called in some way or another, but these are your unique calling. God is not one to mass produce, and each approach is tailored to fit you and how you best approach the world. As a pastor, I am not the best one to minister to your families. That is what he designed and called you for. See, all members of the household work together for the glory of God, just as all members of the church work together. What would it look like if we embraced our name today? What if our true calling was embraced? What if we asked God, what is on that white stone and how we can live into it even more? What if we spread God's word through our story? And what if an eyewitness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth? See, if I were to be in eighth grade again today and talk to my teacher, this time I would have an answer. I would hand her the paper, and it would have simple words written on it. It would say, Devin is a true redeemer. The times I have spent with others and God getting to unfold this very message and what it truly means to me is nothing short of a miracle. Through the ups and downs in my life, the crazy stories and the lessons that I've learned the hard way, this one thing rings true, regardless of what I do. The idea of truly redeeming stories and lives and creation stirs me to my core. I am never more alive. I am never more me than when I am redeeming creation with God. See, that is the side of me that reflects my individual heart of God. It's what he truly called me to be. And I also know this is me, this is my Imago Dei because of you, because of this family that has journeyed with me and walked with me in the valley. And they knew what they were seeing was the heart of God. And it was through these relationships in which God showed me his design for me. But he has a plan for all of us. See, today is Pentecost Sunday, the anniversary of the day the Holy Spirit descended on the first group of believers, and they were empowered to spread the word of God. They were a grassroots underground movement that caught a flame because they were what God had made them to be. And I believe that today we have the opportunity to be that again, to share Christ through story, through eyewitness, and to show what he has done and is doing because he has called us by name. And what if we go back and make disciples of all nations in authority given to us by the power of God himself? So today, 2,000 some odd years later, what if we ask that question again? What if we tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit again? So at this time, I would like to give you guys a moment to invite God in. Pause, relax, breathe, whatever gets you in the right space. When you're ready, ask God, what is my name? Or what does my name mean? It's okay to sit on that for a little bit, but if you guys have something, the next question I would challenge you guys to ask is, God, what do you want me to do with that? What do you want me to do with my name or what my name means? All right, and then the last question that I would have you guys ask is, How can I live in the power of my Jerusalem, my Judea, my Samaria, and the ends of the earth in my life? All right. At this time, I would like to invite the worship band to come up. And I am going to pray us out. But as I do, the worship team is going to sing a song after I'm done praying. And if you want to go deeper in this prayer, these questions, or you have more, or you just need prayer for something, we're going to have a prayer team up here by the cross. And they'd be more than happy to pray with you. And so we'll have them available through the song and through our closing. And then they'll be available after service as long as you need them. So I'll pray us out, and then the worship band will play. All right. Heavenly Father, we are here today in the power of your mighty name. We sit in reverence of what it means both to us and for us. We sit in your name and all it stands for: beauty, peace, redemption, love, reconciliation, and power. And we ask today that as we go back into our Jerusalem, that you show up and you make clear exactly what it is that you have written on our white stone. The name that you have called us that transcends all our misgivings and misdeeds. God, we ask you this week to show us the power entrusted in our own names, because we are tied to the name, your name. Jesus, you were there at the beginning, and you didn't want heaven without us. So you created us and made us your invitation bearers, us and no one else, because you knew from the beginning you would call us, and you knew how you would do it, by bestowing the power of your name in creation so that it would yearn to hear your name. It would yearn to hear your story through our story. Jesus, help us this week to lean into what you have for us, the destiny you have called us into, because we were knit together in our mother's womb and empowered for great things by the name of Jesus. And what a beautiful name that is. And in that name, we all